got someone that's going to come and sing for us, but Dr. J.C. House is America's evangelist on finances. I have never heard anyone who has spoken as eloquently and as passionately about giving as Dr. J.C. House, and he is our friend. I'm so thankful for Dr. House and for Mrs. House. I'm glad that they can be with us. They've been with us a good bit during the week, while at the same time, he's been preaching every evening. And so I thank you, Dr. House, for being with us this morning. I know he will be a blessing to us. And just tune our hearts to this area of giving. Before he comes, our own Melissa Houston, a missionary in Croatia from right here at Worth Baptist Church, is going to come and sing for us. Thank you.
Dreams were shattered, and all that mattered was gone on the winds of sorrow. Everything I had planned swept out of my hand, and I saw no hope for tomorrow. With my heart near to breaking, I cried, Lord, I can't make it by myself. I just can't carry on. Then with the storm at its darkest came the words, I'll never leave you. You are loved. Let my strength be your own. It takes a storm now and then to remind depend upon the Lord and to rest in His word. For in the wind and the rain, I learn to call upon His name, and I thank Him in my song. The storm to make me strong. When my feet are stumbling and my dreams are crumbling, the Lord is there guiding. There's peace, there is calm in the midst of my storm. The Lord is there abiding. He is grace, He is power, He is strength for each hour. He is comfort and safety from all harm. There is joy in my soul, for the Lord has control, and beneath are the everlasting arms. It takes a storm now and then to remind me to depend upon the Lord and to rest in His word. For in call upon His name, and I thank Him in my song. He sent the storm to make me strong. Yes, I thank Him in my song. He sent the storm to make me strong.
Thank you. Well, Steve, thank you. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. I wouldn't have missed that introduction for anything. I was born in Arkansas a number of generations ago, and eloquent is not a word I would ever use in reference to my language and speaking. But I appreciated it. You lie good. That was good. Tonight, I think Dr. Barber is preaching on proclaiming God's vision for world missions. And then Dr. Charles King is preaching on participating in God's vision for world missions. And the interesting thing is that participating part can't get done until you get through talking about what I'm going to talk about. I mean, it just won't happen. It's an amazing thing. We're in a missions meeting, and we could discuss a thousand things, I suppose, and all of it be apro. I mean, we could discuss a world without Christ, billions lost, but we already know that. We know that. We could discuss missionaries, but we already know they're spending 3 or 4 years running back and forth across America trying to get to the field. We've got missionaries. We got lost folks. You know, we could discuss the Bible command. It's pretty simple. Every creature, all the world. That would have been a place to say amen. Every creature, all the world. We know that. So, where are we short on? What are we missing here somewhere? You know, we sure don't need more lost people. We've got enough missionaries to do a lot more than we're doing. We don't need to know more about missionaries. You know, that's not really where the problem lies, and we need to be able to deal with it. It's amazing, though, to find the belief system that's in place in the churches across the country, especially if you start talking about money. I mean, it spans, it goes from pole to pole when you do that. It ranges from poverty to prosperity. I mean, you know, there's one group that they signed their poverty oaths, and we can kind of poke fun at that. And then there's that other group, you know, the Joy Boys, they're seed planting. And God blesses their great faith with prospering them. And it just goes from there to there. And in our Baptist churches, it's just as bad. It just goes from pole to pole. I mean, you just name it, it's out there somewhere. You know, the Poverty Boys, their life verse is Mark 10:21. Jesus said, sell all you have, come follow me. And they just go on and on and on and on. So strong beliefs. Everybody says they're Bible believers, don't they? Everybody we run around with surely would say something like that. Now, this is not going to last long, so you could go ahead and help me a little bit. The reason it's not going to last long is sitting right back there. I made the mistake of calling them last evening. I said, how long do you want me to preach? He said, so that's what it's going to be. But Bible believing, let's check it out for just a minute. And look, you know, we have some strong Bible words that we hang tight on. Believe. I mean, we hang with that word. 272 verses in the Bible with the word believe, believing, believe, that kind of thing in it. But we're strong on believe. What about prayer? Very important. 371 verses. Prayer, that type of thing. Love, that's a big word. That's a big word. Loving, love, lover, that kind of a thing. 714 times. That's important stuff. Giving, stewardship, 2,000, 162 verses. Now let's pay attention. 8 times more verses on giving than believing. 7 times more verses on giving than prayer. 3 times more verses on giving than loving. So we've kind of got a misappropriation of truth somewhere, I think, and we need to look at it and study it for a little while and realize where the problem really is. See, the problem is not in what we know. We know enough already. The problem is not in the need. We know what the need is. The problem is not in workers. We got them. The problem is a heart problem. And God wants to do a little work on our hearts, so let's let him have an opportunity. You join me in Deuteronomy chapter 15 this morning. Absolutely nothing new. I gave up looking for new stuff years ago. It ain't worth it. I hear some new stuff every once in a while, and I said, where did they get that? You know, it's interesting. You come to Deuteronomy chapter 15, and all the students understand that it starts off with that year of release, a most important thing. So I want to read it to you in chapter 15 and verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. I know what he's talking about, but I got one of those in 1948, and he paid a debt I couldn't pay. Marked it paid in full. Hadn't brought it up to me one time since then. I'm glad for it. But what really is happening here is that these folks that have borrowed and have been helped, the end of 7 years, they can't pay it back. It's marked off the books. And that's wonderful. But he's having some trouble. The Lord has some trouble with some of his folks paying attention to that. And he deals with it here and points out the reason that they have some problems. In verse 7, we'll take our first thought. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in thy land, which are the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in the wicked heart, saying, the 7th year, the year of release, is at hand, and thy eye be evil against thy brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Now, you've got the background, and he's saying here now, if these poor people are there, and it just happens to be close to that 7th year, don't you begin to consider that. Don't you begin to think, now, if I let him have it now, that 7th year is coming, and I'm going to lose everything. Now, why would a person think like that? Some say, well, he's just frugal. That's not what the Lord said. Some say, well, he just watches his money. No, no. You know what God said was wrong with him? He said, you got a wicked heart. Wicked. Well, I just have a frugal spirit. No, you have a wicked heart. You know, no such thing as a stingy good Christian. A lot of stingy Christians. You can't put that good in there. Matter of fact, let me get it off my chest. I didn't intend for this to come, but it's up to come. You can't be a good Christian without being a good giver. Now, you certainly can be a Christian. You certainly can love God. You certainly will go to heaven. But you cannot be a good Christian without being a good giver. You see, and I've just jumped over the tithe. We're not even talking about that. We're talking about giving. And we just need to understand that and realize that. But there's a problem. And what he's saying is, number one, you're going to have to overcome that wicked, selfish heart. That's what we need in our churches today. Some folks who understand what their problem is and understand the reason for their problem is that wicked heart they have, you see. And God still loves a cheerful giver. You're not going to get away from it. There is one problem, though. We're all born selfish. Didn't get a vote on it. Didn't get a choice on it. Man, I came into this world squalling. I wanted something. Found out I was squalling for it. I squalled till I was half grown. Became a teenager and it got worse. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Then I got saved. Somebody said, that fixed it, didn't it? Did it help you a whole lot? You know why I got saved? You'll love me through this, please. I got saved for what I could get out of it. You say, oh, heavens, I just got saved because I love God supremely. Yeah, you had this lying problem long. You didn't know what love was. You didn't have a clue. You might explain lust, but you didn't know about love. Someone said, but don't you love the Lord? I love him more right now than I ever have. But I love him because he first loved me when I was unlovely and uncaring and unforgiving. He loved me. And from that point on, he's been saying to him, you need to deal with your wicked, selfish heart. You know, it's terrible. If you don't believe it, what was the first English-speaking word that beautiful angelic baby that was born into your home ever said? Mine! And if you're still having problems with it, next time you're driving down the road with your wife and you get ready for a Whopper burger or a Whataburger or a Who's a Burger, and you pull in, you say you want something, she says, no, I'll have a bite of yours. And what do you say? No, I'll buy you one. You're not yet. Yeah, that's mine. I get so tired of one saying, no, I don't think I want anything. And I can't get anything out of my sack once I get it. She's into it. My fries, whatever. And she doesn't eat stuff like that. See? Of course not. Born selfish. And so God's admonition for you and for me is to overcome. We can overcome that. And he advises us to do it. But there's a second thing now. We move from that wicked heart there in verse 9 to another heart problem in verse 10. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Isn't that an interesting thing? Now he says you've got to overcome that selfish heart. You've got to learn to avoid that grieving heart. See, the devil's pretty smart. Before we give, we have that problem with greed. And after we give, we have that problem with grief. Did you ever make a commitment, maybe to Mount Abiram or any other good, worthy, Christ-honoring cause, and get home and realize what you did and go into depression? God says you need to grow up. And you need to learn to overcome that grieving heart. Somebody said, how in the world can you overcome a grieving heart? Anybody that grieves because of money that they give away forgot who the owner is. And if you've got a grieving problem about having to give, you still miss the lesson on who it belongs to. I don't have a bit of trouble giving other people's stuff away. And so far, I haven't had any trouble giving God's money away. And he lets me handle some, and I'm very glad for it. But see, selfishness attacks us before, grief attacks us after. See, the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something. Did you ever sit in a meeting and you know very well the Holy Spirit of God prompted you about giving? But you didn't, because you knew if you did, you'd be sick for a week. Get over it. He said, you've got to avoid that. How do you avoid it? Remember, it's not yours. Just grow up and remember, none of it's yours, and you don't need to be worried a bit about it. See, when I meet a selfish Christian, and some of you pastors could help me a little bit, they are out there. By the way, there are some stingy preachers. Matter of fact, some of the stingiest Christians I ever met are pastors. If you don't believe it, you'll look at some of my offerings. I want to give them back and say, man, you need it more than I do. Really? Yeah. Stingy. And they're stingy and they wonder why the church doesn't give. I believe it goes like pastor, like church. That's what it is. I thought it was something like that. But see, when I see a selfish person, I know I'm looking at a person who does not know or has forgotten it all belongs to God. Because when you get that settled, the turmoil is over, the grieving is over, all of disillusionment is over, it's all gone then. When we understand the simple truth of Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. It just belongs to God. Well, there's a third thing here. I'll probably find one you like after a while. Look on down now, if you would. Let me read on down into, let me start with verse 12 and read down here for just a moment and look at this very, very carefully. Number one, we've got to get rid of that wicked heart. Number two, we've got to avoid that grieving heart. And then there's a third thing that we need to look at very carefully, beginning in verse 12. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Now, let's not get into the slave thing and get all bent out of shape about that. But back then, they had slaves. They bought slaves. They paid for them. And so a slave would work for them. That seventh year release worked for them. And so a slave works for them the seventh year, and the time for release comes. Now, this is deep theology. Don't mess it up. How much money did the slave earn that 7 years? None. Zero. And so God says, now, when you send him out free, you've got to set him free now. He says, don't let him go away empty. And then it gets worse. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, out of the floor, out of the winepress. He said, Lord, he didn't earn anything. He said, we're not talking about that. We're talking about your heart problem. And wait, and you need, number three, to develop a liberal heart. You have to develop that. It didn't come with the original equipment. No, sir. Wicked, selfish, and here we are, been saved all these years, and if we're not real careful, it's still dominating the way we give and the way we act as Christians. And he says, no, so you don't worry about what they've earned or what they're worth. You furnish them liberally out of the flock, out of the floor, out of the winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, that thou shalt give unto him. The only reason you have anything is because I gave it to you. Now, you give it to somebody else. It's an amazing thing, that liberal heart. Now, I know you don't have a wine press today. I hope you don't. Nor a threshing floor. But we're still called on today. Don't you hang with that crowd that wants to change things. You know, I grew up in that old Associational Baptist crowd who were pretty sure that poverty was a sign of spirituality. You know, the poorer you were, the safer for heaven you were. They had a vow with God about their pastor. They said, Lord, now we want our pastor poor and humble. And Lord, if you'll keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. And they done a good job on their part, I want to tell you. But we need to grow up and get past that, you see. No wine presses, no threshing floor, but we're still called on to be liberal givers. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And no stingy person's cheerful about it. So you have to grow up, you see. And a liberal heart, see. I think maybe it's mind renewal, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Don't you reckon that's where we're at? See, all these wicked-hearted Christians, they don't need regeneration. They need renewal. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And conjunction, don't try to take one without getting two. Be not conformed to this world. Now, who's he talking to that needs to be changed, conformed, needs to be changed? Who needs to be changed so bad? The Christians. The best folks in town. They're there at the church listening to the reading of the letter. And he's saying to them, you folks desperately need to be changed. Well, I don't have much way of doing that, you know. I'm born into this world like this. Oh, be changed by the renewing of the mind. A lot of saved folks still got the same mind they had when they got saved. And they're in this world for what they can get out of it. And they don't understand anything else, and they don't want to understand anything else, and all they need to do is get back to the Word of God. Brother Steve's talking about, it's been talked about all week. And let the Word of God renew our thinking, and then act according to it. Let me look at one other thing, because I want to keep Brother Billy happy. Now, I want you to understand, before I even start this, I'm very much pro-Israel. No other way to go. All right. But Jews, by their very nature, are very materialistic. Can I say that and y'all not get ugly? I won't get... Okay. They measure success by how much they can accumulate, how much they have. And here, God's telling you, you know, you get rid of that wicked heart, that selfish heart. And you get rid of that grieving heart, and you develop a liberal heart. He knows they're not receiving that too well, don't you reckon? I don't know that they're lifting up holy hands, Steve. It may be the other way around, you know. It may be going like that. I don't think they're rejoicing in it. And so he's got a little postscript here that every time I get a little stingy, I look it up and read it again. Look at verse 15. And thou shalt remember, I guess I could stop right there. That'd change everything for everybody. Just take enough time this morning to go back, whenever it was, and remember. Look what he's going to tell them to do. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman. He said, when we met, you were just like them. I think it was Brother Manning yesterday that talked about we're called to go to those we left. It's an amazing thing. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. He said you didn't have anything, and I purchased you. And because of that, therefore, I command thee this thing today. He said, now when you can avoid that wicked heart, overcome that selfish, grieving heart, and develop a liberal heart, he said, then you can move on to expressing a grateful heart. I would reckon probably today the most ungrateful generation that's ever lived is on earth. We have a sense of entitlement. We feel like God owes us something. We feel like God owes us a living, and the world owes us a living, and that we're not allowing God to change us. We haven't overcome that selfish heart, and here he comes to a final work, and he said, I want you to have a grateful heart. I want you to remember what I did for you. And when you get through with that, if you'll be honest, it'll resolve your heart problem. It's amazing how simple the Word of God is. You know. When we remember, that's about all we need to do today. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't try to take some commitments around here. Don't know, I don't have any inside information. But if they do, remember, Brother King can't preach his message tonight if somebody's not supporting God's vision for world missions. Preacher. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Brother Russell. I'd like for us to have a time of prayer. And Sister Madeline, would you mind just playing something while we go into this time of prayer? I'd like to ask all of the missionaries, if possible, to come up, maybe by families, and gather here close to the altar. And I'd like to ask those of you who are pastors and laymen who are visiting with us this week, would you please come up and pray over these missionaries? Everyone who's here, I'm sure, could tell you of things that are on their heart and needs that they have. And I'd like to take just a few moments and ask you to pray for us. And so if I could have all the missionaries come forward by families, come gather around the altar in different places. If you don't know the name of the person, ask them, what's your name? How can I pray for you? Where are you serving? And let's take just a few moments and spend some time in prayer. And if I could get your help with this, I'd really appreciate it. We've got a number of missionaries here, and I thank you for coming on up. Thank you very much. All right, I think we've got almost all the missionaries up here. If I could have now everyone else just come gather around us and just spend some time getting to know us and just pray for us if you would. Thank you.